Welcome to Around the Boyd, a podcast of the news, events, and features in the Department of Music at Clarion University. In this edition of Around the Boyd, we welcome back to Clarion University Professor Emeritus Dr. Stanley F. Mikulski. Dr. Mikulski was appointed to the music faculty in 1961 and spent his 31-year career at Clarion as director of bands, building a highly reputable program that traveled throughout the United States, Canada, and Mexico. Since his retirement in 1992, Dr. Mikulski has been living and working in Charlotte, North Carolina, as coordinator of instrumental music for the Diocese of Charlotte, adjunct professor of music at Winthrop University, where he serves as associate conductor of the Winthrop Carolina Wind Orchestra, and as adjunct professor and conductor of the Catawba College Concert Band. Dr. Mikulski was in town as guest director of the 2010 District 3 Band Festival, and he graciously agreed to take time out from the festival to speak to the music students.
I was present at the service here this morning. You're supposed to have a brass clinician here, Judy Sexton. She's a fantastic musician. She teaches at the North Carolina School for the Arts, and a very fine person. She's doing a great job for us in North Carolina. I'm in North Carolina now, in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I'm up here to conduct the District Band Festival, which has been postponed because of the snow, of course. So I was in the Holiday Inn, and Mr. DeTullio called and said, would I come and speak to you people? And I said, yes, I would, because otherwise I'd still be in that room, and it's not very delightful to be in a Holiday Inn room. How many of you are music majors going off to be teachers, okay? And performers, are any performance majors?
We don't have a performance major.
You don't have a performance major, okay. Well, let me talk to you a little bit from a standpoint of, as a music educator, when you get out, the different aspects of your job that sometimes you don't recognize as you're going through a curriculum like this. You're so busy. I heard you talking, what are we going to rehearse today? You're going to rehearse, you know, the George Washington Bridge March, and you get so involved with that when you get out in your first job, there are different aspects of the job that you never talk about here. When you go out into your profession, the first thing you're going to have, there's a little circle, let's say you're right here, you're the teacher, but you have four constituencies that you have to work with every day. You have the administration, you have your students, you have your parents, and you have your community. And when you take a job, you are so enamored with the fact that you play in this good band here at the university, where you played your recital, and you did a great job on your recital, and you're recognized as a good performer. But believe me, ladies and gentlemen, this parent here who works in a glass plant has no idea what you're talking about. He has no idea what a senior recital is. All he's concerned is what you're going to do as a band director, choral director, or an orchestra director. How you're going to service that community. And as you're servicing that community, all of these are intertwined. As a parent is a member of the community. Many times in the community, they may want you to perform for some function in the community. It may not be comfortable for you. You may have to give up another weekend. I mean, there's so many band directors who have to play for Santa Claus coming to town. Why does Santa Claus need a freaking band? But, you know, we have to do it. And the smaller the community, the more involved you become, the smaller the community. In Charlotte, North Carolina, where I am, we have 16 high school bands and four or five private bands, private school bands. The private schools are a little bit more functional now, because the public schools are not doing that well because of various factors, finances, busing, and things like that. But we're called upon in a big city like that less than you would be in a smaller community. In a smaller community, the band can be the focal point of the community. Now, when you're dealing with the administration, one thing you must do is always keep the administrators informed. You can't go into a situation and think you're the band director and you can do whatever you want. And you can't go and expect to get three new euphoniums when the administrator is concerned about closing school down, about snow on the ground, with the heaters not working, and you're coming and asking for euphoniums. You have to learn when to do this and how to do this. You just don't go in at any time and decide that you need this. He has no idea what a euphonium is. Most administrators can't even spell the word euphonium, let alone what it is. The only way you get to be an administrator is you have to have three losing seasons as a basketball coach and have a social studies degree, and you can become an administrator. You know, because otherwise they're not aware. You realize most administrators do not know what a double French horn is, and yet you're going to go in and ask for a double French horn. You better have your ducks in order when you go in to ask. You better be able to explain what a double French horn, how important that horn is to the school. Now, when you do this to the administrator and you get what you need, this student here gets the benefit of it. That student gets the benefit of it. This parent of the student gets the benefit because the student is doing well, and then the community benefits. Here, a community, well, here would be your community here is the Clarion University campus. That's your community here. If Dr. Tony doesn't have a band ready for the first football game, he's in trouble. This is the community expects that to happen. That expects that to happen. If he doesn't have that ready, he's going to not service the students or service the administration. Now, when you're doing all of this, this is another big circle that comes into play here, is how are you going to do this? What is your image as a music educator in your community? What is your image? And how do people see you in the community? How do they have the opinion of you? There's so many times we get into a community and we think, since we have this degree, everybody's going to do what we want because we're going in and we were told that we have to play this music. You're not going to play George Washington Bridge in 99% of the communities you go into. So just get used to it. You're just not going to do it. So you have to pay attention when Dr. Tony's having rehearsals, how he gets you to do these items, how he gets you to perform, the analogies that he uses, the metaphors that he uses, how he conducts. Every class that you go here, you should be taking notes on how every orchestra director, choral director, brass wind conductor gets you to do things. You're going to learn more from that than you are in your conducting class. But this image that you have on here is your personal image. And people are going to identify you by the image that you have. By the image that you have. Now, an image comes in many ways. An image could be a good conductor. You can be a good administrator. You can have a great personality. And one of the big things about an image is to have, is there's a big word that we use, is what's your likability? When people say, I like him, and your teachers from your high school, just remember how many teachers you liked. There's certain teachers that you liked and there are other teachers you didn't like. It's going through your mind right now. There's a likability that you have to have. Now, the likability develops over a period of time. Now, you know, obviously, you don't want to be so likable that you don't have a good band. A lot of people aren't going to like Dr. Tony. If you don't play your parts right and he scolds you, well, maybe you don't like him that day, but he's trying to help you. He's trying to help you to be a better musician. And eventually, there will be a likability. There will be confidence that you'll build up. This likability goes into all of these four units here, into these four units. If the administrator likes you, he knows you're doing a good job, the chances are you're going to get more of what you want. It has to be a likability. And it's the image that you are portraying, not only as a person. If you portray a good image, you're going to represent your students a lot more. When you're talking about an image, every time students go to intercollegiate band, every time students go to district band, county band, that's the image they are improving, this image of the director. Plus the students then, their images are better, the school's image is better, the parents' image is better. It all starts right here with the band director. Starts with the band, choral, orchestra director. This all starts there. And it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work. I don't think we're a profession. I have no qualms about it. We are not a profession. We have not developed ourselves into being professionals as musicians. And I don't care, nobody can prove to me that we are professionals. Now, there are professional musicians. In this room, David Kim, little violinist, I started him on drums, and he was smart enough to go to learn to play the violin. He is now a first-year violinist with the Philadelphia Orchestra. David Kim, right from here, his mom was a piano teacher here in the department. And David Kim is making $275,000 as the concertmaster of the Philadelphia Orchestra. But David is likable. I mean, when they were having a string clinic, University of Rhode Island, when we were up there doing a band clinic, we played golf together. I mean, he's a human being. He's likable. Now, you might say he's a professional musician. That's great. But the only three professions we have, and we have the legal profession, we have the medical profession, legal, medical, and we have the religious. Now, the reason these are professionals, when you go to see a lawyer, the lawyer says, I can talk to you for 15 minutes, it's going to cost you $400. You go to a doctor, get your tooth pulled, $800, or $500, or not, you don't get a pull. When you're born in religion, every time you go to church on Sunday, you have to put money in a basket. If you baptize, you got to pay the priest. If you die, you got to pay him to bury you. If you get married, you got to pay him to get married. When's the last? How can we say we're a musical performer? They call Dr. Tony here and say we need a band for the wrestling tournament. Do they say we're going to pay you? No. They say. And the other thing about a profession, every time you go to see a lawyer, he's dressed up, has a coat and tie on. Every time you go into court, the judge has a robe on. Every time you go to the doctor's office, he's dressed up. He has a white outfit on or a green outfit. You go get an operation, everybody's clean. Every time you go to church on Sunday, priest or minister, robes, are dressed up. Look at our profession. Just look at our teaching profession. Just put all those things together. We have trouble, as a private teacher, you have trouble getting $25 a half an hour to give a private lesson. Private lesson. My son's a dentist. He does a root canal, and that's $3,000. A root canal. And he hurts you. And you pay to get hurt. $3,000. When you go out teaching in a small community, you start giving some private lessons to these little kids, you have a root canal for every lesson you give. Listen to them play. But you don't get paid for that. So we, as a profession, as a musical profession, if we want to call ourselves a music profession, we have to do something to get into this area, Otherwise, we're still going to be going around all the time and playing Good King Wenceslas at Christmas time just to keep people happy. The Cleveland Orchestra just went on strike because all of the industry out in Cleveland, Ohio, is out of the city. They're having trouble making things go. Charlotte, North Carolina, our symphony went from a 36 week down to a 28 week. So that means they only get paid for 28 weeks. The San Jose Symphony went under. There's probably 10 or 15 orchestras went under. They just can't afford to have them. Now, if that's such a good thing as a profession, why aren't these people thriving? Is we haven't promoted ourselves. We have not promoted ourselves. Cleveland has a good football team. Cleveland has a good basketball team. People are going there. Charlotte has good professional teams. Why are the orchestra and the arts suffering? Because we have not established an image. We have to talk about the situation under this image. Who are you? Who will people say, who are you in a community? And this is identifiable so many times in our music field. We all know For instance, if we're going to be musicians, we all know who Percy Caddy is. I mean, we study about these musicians. We know who that person is. Obviously, we know the great masters. We know Bach, Beethoven, and these people. But in a advertising age, we have to identify who we are. Who are you in the community? Most directors in small communities, band directors, orchestra, choral directors, become the music person in the community. How many of you are from a small town where the band director did everything? Well, everybody knew who he was in town. If he went into town for coffee, they knew who was the band director because he was Mr. Music in that town. Was he likable, most of them? Sure, because he had to be likable or he wouldn't have that opinion. Now, some of your band directors, I saw some people shaking their heads saying the band director wasn't liked. Well, try in your own mind, why wasn't he liked? Why wasn't he liked? And try not to be that type of person. Try not to be that type of person. You have to strive to be the person that's likable. This who are you, there's many different articles that have been written on this, how your image is portrayed when you walk into a room. I happen to be unfortunate to be on a school board here when I was here in Clarion for 10 years, and I was on a Clarion hospital board for 10 years. It is known that people make an opinion of you in the first 5 seconds when you walk into a room. First 5 seconds for an interview, you walk into a room. That's who you are. Now, after that, many times, we just wipe people out. Just wipe them out of our mind, the way they walked in. I remember one person came in for a basketball job at Clarion area, walked in and said, "My name is," and he went around and shook hands with everybody behind the table, all the board members. And he got the job. He got the job before he even started. Because he knew our names. He memorized our names. It wasn't hard because most of us have our names in front of us, but he went around anyhow. He did it. We had one guy came in and sat in a chair with his feet crossed during the whole interview. And the image that he portrayed was he's not going to be a very dynamic person, dynamic individual as a teacher. So when you're going in, you have to think about your appearance, your body language, your language, how you use your language. One person that graduated from the school here had trouble getting a job because of his poor English. And as directors of bands, we get to know all the superintendents, and the superintendents will call up and say, how do you like this guy? How do you like this guy? They never ask how well does he play the instrument, which is sorrowful. That's the way it is. How do you like this guy? Is he dependable? You know, will he be able to work with the community? And if you know the superintendent, you'll answer those questions many times. I will not answer those questions if the superintendent calls if I don't know him, because I don't know who's sitting in a room. He could have the phone on speakerphone, and you could get yourself in trouble answering those type of questions in today's society. But those are some things that you have to work on. The very earliest that you can work on is you have to be interested in the students. When you go back to here, this all these things go up to here, and hopefully they will go and affect this. You have to be interested in your students. You have to, you know, do some things that go way beyond. Mr. DiTullio here, this is the second or third time that he's hosting district band. Now, when he's hosting his district band, his family suffers. He can't spend time with Joyce, his wife, or his two children, because he's thinking about the kids at Allegheny Flying and Clarion Valley High School. He's working for the students. Now, by working for the students, he has to be in touch with this administrator almost on an hourly basis, because the school is canceled. So the administrator makes the decision. So Scott has to be talking to this administrator. He also has to be talking to the parents about these kids coming to play in this district band. Now people are going to get to know who he is. He's going to be a likable person. Everybody knows who he is, and he's establishing a good image in the community. Another director is going to say, "I'm not going to do that. I got a gig to play on Saturday night. I'm going to go out and make $25, play a gig, you know, and he's not going to service his students." Well, then he's hurting the entire program. If you don't have that idea in your mind that you're going to go out and be totally immersed in your job, then you shouldn't go out. Just think of a professional athlete, how much they get involved in what they do. A professional athlete, or even at the top college basketball teams, the game's at 7 o'clock, a lot of those people are there at 5 o'clock, shooting free throws. They're really into their job. Because when they're doing that, that means they might move up to the next professional position. And we have to decide if you're going to be in a position that you're going to want to put this time in to be a successful person. Are you going to be in a position when the administration comes to you and says, we need you to play for graduation ceremonies? Are you going to say, I can do it, or are you just going to say, I don't have time, we don't have time to do that, and that's not in my contract? There's been two students from this institution who lost their jobs because they refused to play a parade, refused to participate in the parade. I forget what parade it was, either Thanksgiving parade or something like that. They said, you know, they belong to the union and they weren't going to play in the parade. Well, pretty soon was a year or two when the administration just didn't give them any money, made the job so miserable that they lost their job. They can't fire you for not doing that, but they can make it pretty miserable for not doing that. And it's a matter of you developing over a period of time all the images and the likabilities that come from you that makes all of these items workable. And a lot of this will not be done just by yourself. There should be a lot of networking going on. All of you here are friends. For 4 years, you developed friendships here. There's no reason why you shouldn't make maybe pacts now and enjoy, you know each other. Why you can't help each other out? We are such a group of musicians. We're always looking who screws up during a recital. When we go to a concert, we're never positive. We're always looking if there's going to be something wrong. That's just the nature of musicians. We're not hoping, but if somebody's playing well, you say, well, you know, he practices all the time, so he ought to play well. He's always in the practice room. But if you go someplace and somebody makes a mistake, you say, well, did you hear the blooper? You hear the French horn? They missed that high note. That's in our blood. We're negative all the time. Why don't you two here, you say there, first job I get, I'm going to invite you to come out and be my clinician. And you say, I'm going to invite you to be my clinician. And you two, and you go around and you do this, it would be fantastic. You could work with each other. You people are the most talented people in the world when you get out. And after 2 or 3 years, you sink down. You lose your enthusiasm. You could help each other out so much with this networking. It's the biggest thing in the world, networking is now. Over the years, as my son became a dentist and my daughter was into the merchandising business, their networking is so fabulous. My son is constantly in friendship with other dentists. They're always together. And I play a lot of golf with the dentists. I play a lot of golf with my son. I told Dr. D'Antonio that last night. I've never heard any dentist of the five that I'm always with ever say one negative thing about the other one. Not one negative thing ever in the last 15 years. It's just positive all the time. They help each other out. And the same thing in merchandising. If you as individuals had to go through the rigid self-evaluation that my daughter does as a merchandiser, most of you would have a job of more than 2 months. If she sells $1 million worth of clothes this Christmas season, she has to sell 1.2 million next year. If she sells 1.2 million, she has to sell 1.5 million next year. You know? And there's band directors out there playing the same crappy music over every year. Same crap every year, you know? They never get to the good stuff like George Washington. Why do these people do this? Because they're lazy. They don't have any image. They have no good idea about likability, and they're just happy with what they're doing. When you decide to play more difficult music, you have to train the students to do it, you have to have the music, you have to have the instruments to do it, and you have the perseverance to work with the people. You might have to do some clinics after school with the kids or some private lessons. That all takes more work. But the more work you do, then you increase your likability, you increase your image. You increase your image. And your image is something that goes on daily. If you think people aren't watching you, you are totally, well, you're just pretty stupid. How many of you can remember a teacher from school who you liked the way they dressed? A lady teacher, anybody? My granddaughters, now you guys are thinking about some good-looking chicks. Come on, I'm talking. My little granddaughters are in school now. They could come home and tell you what Mrs. Davis wore every day. They can tell you what they wore every day. I mean, my little granddaughter, 2 weeks ago, my son-in-law had his birthday, and we went out to one of these Italian places to eat. My little granddaughter leaned over to me, and she said, "Papa, Nana's scarf doesn't match her sweater." So I just gave her a backhander right there and gave her a plastic bag to play with for the night, you know. But it's amazing. It's totally amazing. Now if you're thinking through your mind about this, you may say, "Well, dress has nothing to do with it. Has nothing to do with it." Now, you don't have to be dressed like, I wouldn't be dressed like this if I were home and there were 8 inches of snow on the ground. I guarantee you. Because this is, life is just different. And if you're washing your car, mowing your lawn, but you should be dressed how you want people to perceive who you are. And just always think about it, I told you about these three professions, how these people are dressed. And that's one of the starting points. You should keep up on your instrument. You should keep up on your instrument as long as you can. It's very, very difficult once you're teaching to keep up on your instrument. I was a tuba major in piano. I still play a lot of piano, but as a tuba major, I haven't played in about 2 years. I got a nice five valve double C tuba sitting there, but after a while, you just don't practice. You don't practice 20 minutes, 30 minutes a day. You cut down to 15, then you cut down to 10, and then pretty soon you don't practice at all. And then you go to play in a group and they put up Rienzi and you find out the notes are pretty small and they're pretty fast. So you stop practicing. But I'm doing a lot more conducting than I really should be doing, but I enjoy that very much. But keep up on your instrument. Keep up on your instrument. Do a lot of networking. Networking not only to promote yourself, networking to find out how certain things can be. I mean, I'm sure Dr. Tony and myself, I know he does because I do, I have no compunctions in calling a composer and saying, "How do you want this piece conducted?" I'm doing a new piece by Boysen, Grant Him Eternal Rest. It's one of his new pieces. I just called him the other day. He has a little piano thing and he has some fermatas. And he's up in Rhode Island. Just get on the phone and call him. They'd love to talk to you to help you out. I'm always happy when a student calls me and says, you know, what type of literature can we play? I only have two horns in a band. It's no use putting out music for French horns for a full horn section if you only have two horns. You can't play Claude Smith's music when he has the French horns written in fours if you only have two French horns. You can't play an Italian in Algiers if you don't have an oboe player and a bassoon player. You're just fooling yourself if you do that. So don't hesitate as far as networking, not only for your self-promotion. And when I'm talking about self-promotion, I'm not saying promote yourself at the expense of another person. When you're networking all the time, you're always learning from somebody. You know, all of us have learned from someone else. I don't think there's a new idea in music, unless you're a composer and you want to come up with something different. But there aren't any new ideas. It's just perfecting the ones that we have. Perfecting the ones that we have. And a lot of this will work out for you if if you get into the right position. What I mean by the right position, I was talking to the gentleman, there's a high school, anybody from Tennessee here? There's a school out in Kingsport, Tennessee. Their band, they have a band building that is separated from the high school. They have their own band rehearsal room, they have their own jazz band room, they have their own marching band room. If you get into a situation like that, it's a lot different than going to a little community where your band room is at the end of the building and you're down there by yourself. How many people know that all the band rooms are usually way at the end of a hallway? That's where you are. And you know what happens? Most band directors, that's the only thing they do. They go at that end of the band, they come in that door, they stay there, they go out that door and go home. And then they wonder why they don't get any help from the administration. Who, what coaches, I gave it away. The people that are in the teacher's room all the time are the coaches. Band directors very seldom go into the teacher's room. They say, we don't have time to go into the teacher's room. We're so busy down here teaching, we don't have time to go. Well, the coaches in the teaching room, in the teacher's room every once in a while talking, becoming part of the faculty and everything, and the coach has the highest salary, the coach has more assistants, the coach has more room, and the band director is down the end of the building complaining because he thinks that that's where he should be. When you get into a school system, you're part of the entire system. You are a faculty member. You're not a band director. We'd like to consider ourselves a band, a choral, orchestra director. And I'm encouraging you to do this. I don't want to use the word I, but I have to. I supervise the music for the Charlotte Catholic Schools. And I have 7 people working for me. And so I interview people. We have 1 more position to fill for next year. I'm pretty sure we're going to get it. I don't know what the economy, whether we will get it, but it's in the budget and it's a position to fill. And we're looking at all of this situation. Every one of my teachers is a very good performer. 3 of them are good jazz performers, very fine jazz performers. But everyone performs very well. 2 are from Youngstown University, one's a tuba player, and one's a euphonium player. Outstanding people. So when we're looking for people, we're looking for people who are all these qualities. And there's a lot of people available for jobs now, a lot of people available. So you gotta get your act together when you go out and do this. And don't go out negative, and don't go out to the situation where you're belligerent about, well, you know, I did this in college, I performed this music, and I don't understand why these people don't want to hire me, or why I can't get this. Well, just put yourself in those people's position. Put yourself in those people's position. They're not concerned with what you played here. There's not one superintendent who will be concerned that you played George Washington Bridge March. Has no idea. But that's helping you to become a better musician. But you better pay attention when Dr. Tony, or if you have some other classes here where you're learning grade 3 music and grade 2 music, so when you get out. Most of you, when you get out, you're going to be going to school where you're going to be playing grade 2 and grade 3 music. So you better know that literature. When I interview a person, I say, name me 5 tunes that are grade 2 and 5 tunes that are grade 3. I have yet to have one person answer that question. Because all you think you're going to play is grade 5 and 6 music. Well, you're not going to play grade 5 and 6 music. You just better get it in your mind right now. Unless you go to University of Michigan, or University of Illinois, or Florida, or Cleveland. So learn the literature. And when you're going to these classes, your techniques classes, you better learn fingerings. Because in our school system, down where I'm teaching, we have 218 fourth and fifth graders. 218 fourth and fifth graders. We have 525 kids in the music program. And we have 13 kids in district band. And we have an oboe player down, a kid oboe player who already has a scholarship to Johns Hopkins, Manhattan, and Boston. We have 2 flute players that are just out of their mind. I mean, when I'm going out guest conducting a job, when I want to know a flute trill, I go to this one high school kid. He knows every trill, the flute. When you get into a system, you better know these fingerings, because these kids are going to ask you. You better carry around that little book of fingerings. You won't remember them all. So all these classes that you're having here, really get into it. Boy, if you don't, the especially if you get a bassoon player. I mean, how many of you can play with F scale on a bassoon, which is just like a C scale on a clarinet, but you just have to pay attention to that. Prepare yourself when we're talking about you. So when you come into a situation, I never got into this when I came, but I'm thinking, why don't I ask people some fingerings when they come in for an interview? I mean, everybody has a good impression why they want a job and everything else, but can you really do the job? This is the truth. 4 years ago, I walked into one of my teacher's percussion lesson, and the teacher had 4 kids over here playing snare drum, and he was sleeping here on a chair with a baseball hat on, trying to cover his eyes. Well, luckily, in the system that we're in, we don't believe in tenure or any of that stuff. Well, he was gone. I just said, pack up your bags, John. We fired him right on the spot. He's a good percussionist. He plays with the Repertory Orchestra in Charlotte, good. But you know, what kind of image is that? And he said he was just resting his eyes. Sure, you're just resting your eyes. You know, and I stood there for a while, kids are beating on the drums. So another lady, good bassoon teacher down there, was constantly late for school because she had 3 kids. Well, it wasn't my fault that she had 3 kids. It was her husband's fault and her. So if you can't be on time, you're in trouble. When you're not on time at the elementary school or junior high school and there's kids in the room, you are liable for a lot of lawsuits. Because if you put kids in the room without a teacher, you're in trouble. So all of these little things that you're being told here are very, very important for yourself to getting a job. And obviously you don't want to go through 4 years of school and then not to get a job to pay off your loans and everything else. But put yourself in this position all the time, in this position right here, and try to figure out how are you going to satisfy all these people. These people do it all the time. They're not afraid to advertise. You go to the legal profession, they advertise right on television. If you have an accident, come and see us. If you've been around asbestos, come and see us. If you've taken this drug, come and see us. Medical profession advertise all the time. The hospitals advertise, they fight each other for patients. The religion, you can pick up any paper and it'll tell you when all the services are on Sunday. They advertise almost every day. And look at all of the evangelists we have on television advertising every day. We have the Calvary Church down there in Charlotte. The minister got up a couple months ago and said, if everybody doesn't give $200, God says we're going to close this church. And stupid people gave him $200. He made out pretty good. You know, you're going to have trouble telling the kid that he has to go and buy a $8 oboe reed. They're going to expect you to provide oboe reeds. Clarinet reeds are up to $2.50 or $3 now. And, you know, if you don't know about it, but, you know, you go to buy a baritone saxophone, you're going to pay $5,000 for Barry Sax. Suppose your budget's only $500 for the whole year. Music, instruments, and equipment, and repairs. How are you going to get by with $500? And a lot of schools are doing that. And you need tubas, you need euphoniums, you need clarinets, bassoons, percussion instruments. We just bought a xylophone. I think it was $4,000. My price, school price. I mean, and if your budget, how are you going to impress this administrator next year that your budget is going to go from $500 maybe to $1,500, and then next year you want to go to $2,500. My high school band director, I'm with Dr. Tomey's going to flip. My high school band director's budget is $25,000. High school, Charlotte Catholic High School, $25,000. We don't know how to spend it. We have so many good, we have the best instruments, best music, good library. We're taking the band to Ireland next year. We're performing the St. Patrick's Day Parade. But, and our parents right here, Right now, they have, I think, $106,000 in their budget. So he has 25 plus 106. We're lucky in Charlotte, guys and girls. The parents work at the Panthers games. You know, they man one of these booths. They sell beer and popcorn. So every year we make $50,000 from the Panthers just by manning that game. And then they do the, what bowl is that? Meineke Bowl in Charlotte, bowl game. There's a football. So they work that bowl game. And they also work at the Waconia Golf Tournament. So they make $50,000 to $55,000 every year working at that. So that's how they generate all that money. So we go to them for a lot of little things that the school. The school supplies all the instruments and the uniforms. Band parents do the things like the trips and little stuff. If we want to get new cabinets or something for the marching band, we go to the band parents. But there are schools in the Charlotte area with a $500 or $1,000 budget for the entire year. And you have to decide, well, how are you going to spend this, or how are you going to get to the administration? If you're working well with the parents, ladies and gentlemen, one of these parents, there's a good possibility one of these parents will be on a school board. That person's on a school board, that school board influences this gentleman or this lady. Here we may talk, you don't like this word, politics. You think it's a negative thing, and in today's society it probably is. But you do have to play politics, or use the word networking better, to influence people to get what you want. And every time you get a new instrument, who benefits? The student. You don't benefit. If you work hard to get an instrument, the student benefits. If the student benefits, your band benefits. Or if you get a nice grand piano, the chorus benefits. If they benefit, then the parents benefit because they have a good band program. Then the administrator finally benefits because the administrator is the ultimate person who takes credit for what you do. If you're in a public school, never use the word I or my band. Always use the word it's our band. When you're talking to an administrator, it's our band. If you want to really make them feel good, tell them it's his band. Whatever you get, whatever you want to get, you say it's his band, you can get it, or her band. I work for a lady who's the superintendent of schools down there. So we have a very good, guess who, when we decided we're going to Ireland, guess who was the first person invited to go to the Ireland trip? That lady superintendent. Guess how much she's paying to go on that trip? Zero. But that's why we got $25,000 for the band. Maybe next year will be $30,000. You know, you can call it whatever you want to. You can call it brown nosing, you can call it playing favorites or anything like that, but it's the right thing to do. After all, she has not only the band, she has 18 schools she has to take care of as a superintendent in a large system like that. So, you know, when she's going through the budget, it's nice that she gives us that money. That's just the high school budget. I have 8 other schools that we take care of. One little elementary school, there's a good lady principal there, Mrs. Butler. She had my grandchildren in class. She puts $10,000 in a budget every year for an elementary band. Every year. I'm sure Mr. Johnson would be happy. We have 4 valve euphoniums for these kids. Their fingers can't even fit the fourth valve. But we bought the best just to have them. We have all king tubas, small 3/4 size tubas in that school. We've had the $10,000 since the school opened 6 years ago. That's $60,000. So every year, we're putting stuff in there. And besides, I have money for that. We have in our program, we have 525 kids, and we charge each kid $350 for the band. So I have $390,000 to play with, plus the 25, plus the 10. So we're not hurting. We can take them to Ireland. We can take them anywhere. So I got to pay some salaries out of that, but that's tremendous. there's opportunities out there. And if somebody would have told me when I retired here that I would be doing this, or I would have said, you know, they have a bad case of amnesia and, you know, the zits and everything else. There's so many opportunities out there for people who want to do things. In the Charlotte area, it's amazing. I'm doing the Catholic schools. The Lutheran schools want me to do their program. Somebody would step in or they could do the same thing with the Lutheran schools. Because the public schools, for some reason, down there are not doing that well. There's two good high schools down there, public schools, Providence High School and South Mac. All the rest of them in marching band, they march with drumsticks, playing the bass drum, and it's just not very good. It's a deterioration of the band programs, the music programs in general, because of the budgets. The budgets are so bad at that. The taxation's not bringing in money. But yet people want a good education, so they'll come to this, they'll come to the private school. Charlotte Latin School, which is about 100 yards from my house, Charlotte Latin High School, the tuition is $21,000 a year for the high school. $21,000. Our tuition is $8,000 a year for Charlotte Catholic. So if people are dissatisfied, they will pay to get a quality program. So, you know, think about your likability, think about who you are, your image, and that you have to satisfy these four constituents, and hopefully one of these days we will be considered a profession rather than just a bad band director. You know, sometimes I use the word band director, it almost sounds like a negative thing. But you have tremendous opportunity here. Pay attention to what these people are doing, and think more out of the box, I want to say, because if you're the box and here are the circle, you're the circle. You got to think out of this. You got to get out of here and think about all of this. Right here, right now, you know, you have to satisfy your teachers, your faculty, or you don't graduate. I mean, you have to get grades to graduate. And you have to satisfy, meet your, you know, your qualifications and all the tests that they have to go here. Anybody have any questions? It's time's up, I think. I'm just looking at that. Anybody have any questions about what we're doing, or this program, or it could help you? I guess that's about it, isn't it? Time-wise?
As far as time, yeah. Getting pretty close there.
Okay, but all I can say is, you know, it's exciting when you're out there, when a program is going this well. I don't teach at all. I just go around the schools and try to help these teachers out with equipment. And I'm telling Mr. DiTullio, it's a lot easier for me to get the equipment for the teachers than it is for them to get it, because I can go and see that superintendent or take her out to lunch. Or if you're teaching every day, you don't have time to do that. You can't leave your room to go to see the superintendent. And I will never go ask the I would never go to the superintendent on a day like today and ask for something, because he's worried about busing, about kids, about snow. And I always go talk to the secretary and say, how is she doing today? And if two boilers broke at a high school and she's worried about the boiler or the air conditioning, she's not going to give you a penny for any instruments. So you can always come back the next day. Or when you're teaching full time, you don't have time to do that. You just do not have time to do that. And it's too bad in all of our schools, we've lost the position as supervisor of the arts. Many schools had this for a long time, where they had a person who was in charge of art, drama, and music. They could do this. They could work with the administration. They could go to the school board. I see school board members at football games. We have a good football team. We've been the state champs for 3 years. Do you realize when a football team is better, the band looks better? When the team's losing, the band gets hell. Joe Paterno got mad because when they were losing a couple years ago, he said the band was not playing enough. He put them in a different position so they could be heard more. Now that they're winning, he doesn't give a damn if the band's there or not, you know? But when they're losing, it's always the band. Why do they ask a band to play at a wrestling meet? I mean, I think when a guy has a chicken hole or a finger wing on somebody, he's not worried what the band's playing. But a band gets people excited. But I talk to more parents and administrators at football games when the band is looking good. And you always have to think about the opportunities that arise, ladies and gentlemen. There are many times in my career where I was at the most inopportune time, and a person would say to me, if there's anything I could ever do for the band, just give me a call. If anybody ever tells you that, if you don't take advantage of it, you are, something's wrong with you mentally. Mr. Bryson one time told me that, B-R-Y-S-O-N, I'll give you his address, you can verify this. He said, if you ever need anything for the band, just let me know. I went back to my office the next day, talked to him, gave him a phone call. I said, Bob, you know, you mentioned about having something for the band. I said, we could use a brand new set of timpani. He said, what does it cost? I said, it was going to cost about $5,500. He said, is that all you need? He worked for the bank. He gave us $15,000. Just after one, I always be prepared. And another thing is that I've learned over the years, always have a list of things that you need and what they cost, where the supplier is, and how you can get them, and who you write to. Because you never know when somebody's going to come up to you, like a band parent or something, and say, you know, we have some money. Is there anything you need at this point? You have to be ready right then to say, yes, we need this. And all my faculty, the three big ones at the high school, have to have this for me. The high school guy now has on his list, he needs a new long ranger for marching band. He needs one of those. So I forget what they cost, but that's a, we could get that from $106,000 tomorrow. But he has that on the list, and he also wants a new podium for the drum major and stuff like that. Our marching band is growing. We do not push the marching band, as some schools do. We are going out concentrically from the concert band. The concert band is our main program, and then we go out to the lab band, the marching band, and all of our ensembles. And I was just telling Dr. DiTullio, we have seven people from the symphony orchestra working with our band kids every Tuesday. They come in, we have the money from a foundation to pay for them to come in, and they are developing all small ensembles. If you have small ensembles, your big ensemble is going to sound good. You have to work with the small ensemble. But all of this that I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, did not happen in 3 days or 3 weeks or 3 months or 3 years. I never thought I was going to be doing this. So don't think that you're going to be, what you think you're going to do is going to happen to you in your lifetime. When I left, when I retired here, I thought I was going to go down and be with my kids. You always have to be close to your children when you get older because they pick the rest home and you have to be nice to them. So I went down to be around them and I ended up with this job. And I've been there now, 17 or 18 years. When we started, we had zero. We didn't have one music stand, not a music stand. Now we have 525 kids, and this program developed. It took a lot of nurturing. We have a principal who did not believe in a band at all. He's a jock. I went into him 2 years ago, said, I have a chance to bring the Marine Band here free. He said, who's the Marine Band? What is it? I mean, the typical jock, you know. But then I went to the superintendent, and we had the Marine Band there, and we can have anybody there from now on, because sometimes you just have to put a guy in his place. But you know, that's how people are. But the Marine Band, when it came in, people then started expecting more bands to come in, more orchestras to come in, more choruses. So we started bringing in more groups, and that just expanded our program by letting people know what a group would sound like, and that these people who are in the Marine Band eventually started as fourth graders, and they actually went to a school like Clarion University, and then they were lucky enough to get a audition for Marine Band. As far as being good, the Marine Band had an opening for clarinets last year, and the director and I are pretty good buddies, and they had 42 people make the final list, they broke it down to three, and they didn't accept any of them. They said they weren't good enough. They open up the audition again. So it's tough out there. Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra had an opening for a tuba player a couple of years ago. Had all these auditions. They had auditioned behind the screen. And a 19-year-old kid got it. He beat everybody. Some 19-year-old kid came in and beat everybody. You got to be on your toes. You got to be on your toes when you go out. You got to be on your toes. And you have to think about, you know, what you're doing right now is very important, but you have to think, what are you going to be doing 5 years from now? How can I prepare myself to do it? And if you're not ready for the rigors of it, then maybe you should go into animal husbandry or something, you know. But because music education takes a lot of work on you, really takes a lot of work. You know, Mr. DiTullio, with this festival coming up, he was on the phone last night till midnight. He was up this morning. And tomorrow at 8 o'clock, we're going to start rehearsing. And we'll be going till Saturday. And then when you're done with this, I mean, I'm sure he has to get the music put away. He has to get the writers put away. There'll be fee, budget things to worry about. He's going to have to write a lot of thank you notes. That's the lost art, thank you notes. I hope you don't feel that I'm being nasty to you, but your society is very, your generation is very me-oriented. I bet you there isn't more than two people in who've written a thank you note within the last 6 months. You just want everything. And I know because I have grandchildren, they're the same way. You buy them an iPod and they want an iTouch. You buy them an iTouch and they want the new thing that he just came out with, Gates came out now. They just want everything. My little granddaughter, she said, I want an iTouch. And I said, boy, that's pretty expensive. She said, I don't come cheap, Papa. She's a typical snotty flute player, too, you know. I didn't mean that. No. Both of my little granddaughters are flute players, so, but little Maggie has a little attitude about herself. But the thank you notes are so important. I don't have my briefcase with me because I didn't expect to do this today, but I have it back in the room. I have thank you notes with me at all times. The people that do so many things for you and you don't show appreciation. I mean writing a thank you note. I don't mean writing an email. Emails can be deleted. You write a thank you note after audition, after an interview. It's in your file for your lifetime. When my people write me a thank you note after an audition, it goes into their personnel file. It stays there. It stays there. An email is deleted. And you can buy thank you notes at the dollar store for a dollar. You can get 10 in a box. And at the rate that you write them, you'd have them for the rest of your lifetime. But use them. Be appreciative. And the last thing, I bet you there isn't a person in here who wrote a thank you note to their parents in the last 10 years. Your parents are sacrificing for you being here. But you haven't shown that appreciation. You know, you just take everything for granted. I mean, you call home and you talk to your parents, you know, like you're the parent and they're the child, you know. A thank you note to your parents every 2 years would be just, you make them live another 2 years. Maybe you don't want that to happen, but, you know, you collect the insurance and you can have whatever you want if they die, you know. But send them a thank you note occasionally. Don't be so self-centered. Don't be so self-centered. And, I mean, I know, don't flood Dr. Tony or Dr. Johnson with thank you notes, but what these people do for you, I mean, I just walked in, I saw the brochure, the nice band brochure downstairs. That band brochure just doesn't happen. It takes somebody to put it together, it takes somebody to take it to the printer, it takes somebody to find the money to put it, and it takes somebody to put it up on that bulletin board. A little thank you note to him, once in a while, would make him work harder to make you a better person, make you a better band. But you just think those things happen. They don't happen, ladies and gentlemen. And you should show appreciation more than you do. More than you do, not just take everything. And you can say, well, I'm paying to go to school here, I'm paying as a salary. He could do without you. I mean, I'm not talking about you. He could do without students. His job is secure. But you could make it a lot easier for all of us. So, I mean, I enjoy it when sometimes when my kids said, thanks, Dad, for something like that, it's really great. My son and I played golf down in Florida 2 weeks ago. We had a good time together. The only thing is, he can drink a lot more beer than I can anymore. I don't know why you younger kids can really put it away. But he's paying for it because he's a dentist. So, good drummer, good percussionist. My son's a good percussionist. Really great. He played through Clarion High School here. Played his way through college. Really great. He went to Grove City, then he went to Case Western. Made a lot of money playing percussion. He'd like to play more, but he's pretty well much involved there. So with all these little things, I hope give you a little bit of a message I didn't expect you. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you. Have a good time. Go sled riding today. Enjoy life. And be nice. If I can ever help anybody, talk to Dr. Tony. If you ever need any help in the Carolina areas, Dr. Tony can get in touch with me. Who are the Kappa Psi people in here? I appreciate getting notices from you every once in a while. Thank you. We started Kappa Psi here many, many years ago. You're having something coming up in April, some big thing? Yeah, I can't come to that. I'm doing some festival somewhere. But thank you for the invitation. I appreciate that very much. It's nice. Just a little thing like that connects me with Clarion, and I appreciate it very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
For more information about any Clarion University Department of Music event, contact the music office at 814-393-2287 or visit us on the web at www.clarion.edu/music. Hope to see you at the Boyd!